Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we are moving on. Having camped in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 17 through 22. For a number of broadcasts, we have now completed that section that deals with some of the problems of the church in Corinth and problems that exist in many churches that need to be recognized and corrected. But now we move on to the section where we find the institution of the Lord's table, or the Lord's Supper, or the communion service, as it is variously called by different people. And here we will learn the true meaning and appropriate observance of the Lord's Supper. Now, the passage that we are looking at in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, is the most widely utilized passage in Lord's Supper observances, Lord's Supper services, when we gather together to remember the Lord in the way that He commanded through the partaking of the bread and the cup. An observance which Christ Himself instituted with His apostles shortly before His crucifixion. And though there are appropriate passages in the Gospels that are often used at this service, nevertheless, the one that is used most frequently is the one that is found right here in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26, where Paul, the apostle, says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes.'" Well, thank you for joining us on this Wednesday, February 23, for another edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And I'm so grateful for those radio listeners whose financial gifts enable us to teach God's Word on this station. Well, Paul has been addressing abuses of the Lord's table at Corinth. Some of that was addressed in chapter 10, and again he addresses it in the verses preceding the ones I just read in chapter 11. But he pauses from that to declare, in the verses I just read, a proper understanding of this divine ordinance, called by some a divine sacrament, after which he will continue with corrections of abuses to finish out the chapter. So he's not done with correcting what is wrong, but he pauses to declare what is correct, what is appropriate. And so here Paul presents a succinct account of the straightforward observance of the Lord's table. It is simple. It is profound. It is instructive. Let's take a look. The Lord's Supper, first of all, its source. Where do we get the institution of the Lord's table? Where does this observance come from? Where do we trace its origin back to? And Paul tells us when he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." I received from the Lord. And he goes on to say where it was that the Lord inaugurated this when he says, on the same night in which he was betrayed. So now we know exactly where it started and when it started and by whom it was inaugurated. It was inaugurated by the Lord, as Paul tells us here. And it was inaugurated on the night in which he was betrayed and went to his crucifixion. So it was inaugurated by Christ. And that, of course, is made very clear in the gospel accounts, particularly Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it was inaugurated on the night of his betrayal, which, of course, in itself is very significant, that he wanted to make sure that the disciples received this command, this ordinance, this practice, instructions for this practice, before he went to the cross. So that's where it originated, but the question is, where did Paul learn about it? He tells us, I received from the Lord. That's important. Paul received the instructions, which he gives here, directly from Christ, not from others. Now, we recognize that Paul was not there when Christ instituted the Lord's table. The apostles who were gathered together were the 12, including Judas, who was actually dismissed from the Lord's table. He was identified as the betrayer, and he was dismissed, went out into the night. You can read about that in the gospel account. So that left 11 apostles who were there for the completion of this inauguration of the ordinance. But the Apostle Paul was not among them. Paul wasn't even saved at that point. Paul had not met the Lord on the Damascus Road. Paul tells us elsewhere that he was an apostle born out of due season. He was one who came into the apostleship at a later time than the others, and by different circumstances from the others, but, and here's the point, he had the same qualifications as the others, including the fact that he received divine revelation directly from Christ. That is one of the marks of an apostle. An apostle has to be one who has been taught by the Lord. And all of the other apostles were. Christ called them unto himself. He selected his apostles. He called them unto himself. He called them from their homes, their jobs, their families to be with him, to follow him, to live in close relationship with him over the course of approximately 3 years. And all of that time he was instructing them. They were being instructed in some cases directly and privately by Christ, in other cases as part of the multitudes that Christ was teaching. But Christ was, in addition to the other things that he was doing during his earthly ministry, he was conducting a training school for the apostles. He prepared them thoroughly. He taught them much. And then when he sent them out, when he commissioned them, told them to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, he said to baptize those who had become disciples through their work, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but this, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. What Christ taught the apostles, he commanded the apostles to teach others. And thus it is down to this very day, 2,000 years later. Every Christian has a responsibility to teach other Christians. Every generation of Christians has a responsibility to teach the next generation of Christians. And the apostles were the ones who received this 3 years of very personal training, tutoring, mentoring by Christ. And here is Paul, who was saved some years later on the Damascus Road and did not have that opportunity, but Paul makes it very clear several places, but particularly in the first chapter of Galatians. Paul makes it very clear that he did not receive his doctrine, his teaching from others. It didn't come to him secondhand. Paul didn't have to go to Peter and John and say, tell me what the Lord taught you so that I'll know what I need to know to carry out my mission, as Christ has called me to be an apostle to the Gentiles, but I didn't have that training that you have. So I'm coming to you. I'll sit at your feet. I'll receive from you the word of Christ that was given to you so that I get it not from Christ, but I get it secondhand. But that's not the way it was at all. Paul tells us here very clearly that he got it directly from Christ, not from others. 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord, not from Peter, not from John. I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread and so forth. He was taught by Christ. You say, how did that happen in his case? We have a pretty good picture of how that happened in the case of the other apostles, how they were taught by Christ. We have a record of it in the Gospels. We can see the narrative. We can see the various accounts that show us in pretty good detail what was going on between Christ and the apostles as they were being taught. We don't have anything like that with Paul. We don't know the details, but we do know that he tells us clearly on several occasions that this is the truth. He received instruction from Christ just like the others did. And when it comes to the Lord's table, he didn't get that from anybody else. The other apostles were present when Christ inaugurated the Lord's table. Not Paul, but Paul knew as much about it as they did. And Paul had the same authority to declare to others how it ought to be observed as they did, in fact. Here we have the most widely utilized passage on the Lord's Supper in an epistle written by Paul. You'd think we might find that kind of information in one of Peter's epistles or John's epistles or perhaps one of the others. But nope, you find about it in the Gospels, the Gospel narratives that tell us when Christ inaugurated it, and we've got an historical account of that. But here we have an apostle who was not present at that time, but he's the one who has delivered the information that most of us look to as the defining passage on the Lord's table. It came from the apostle Paul, who received it directly from the Lord himself. When did Paul first deliver these instructions? That's a good question. And he clearly had delivered these instructions to them prior to writing this epistle. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Delivered, past, previously delivered to you. Clearly, when Paul was founding the church in Corinth, when he was there personally and present, was teaching them. He was there, actually, for a year and a half. He had a long time to instruct those believers. And during that time, he had no doubt given the same instructions that he is giving in this 1 Corinthian epistle, as he reminds them what he had delivered to them previously. But now, it comes in written form so that we who were not in Corinth when Paul was delivering this to them might have it for our instruction today. We'll have to take up some more, Lord willing, tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.